They were called a modern day Bonnie and Clyde. Tobin and Beetson of Midland, Ontario, would leave one woman begging for her life in a group home. Tune in to Creepaholics with your host Shanice for more. Thanks, guys. Hello, Creepaholics crew. I'm your host, Shanice, and we are doing episode 16, Case of Krista Sepp. Now, we are going to cover everything that happened in 1989, what revolves around this case, and what revolves around Krista Sepp after her death. So I hope you enjoy my video, as this is my very first YouTube video. So, hopefully we will start doing them like this, because I guess it's easier to send around the internet. So for those of you who don't know, Midland, Ontario is a small populated town. But we're not only going to talk about the town, we are going to talk about the town as if it was 1989. So nowadays, if you described Midland, Ontario, it would not have the same population. It would not add up to what I am telling you about the events in 1989. So I just kind of wanted to put that out there before I started so you don't think I'm like not familiar with the town that I am from, because I am from Midland, Ontario. So, why don't we get started, shall we? So in 1989, Midland had a population of 17,000 in a small sleepy town of Midland where not much goes on. Midland was incorporated in 1890, and you could count the number of murders on one hand. So as you can see, there wasn't much crime back then. So, you know, for what happened, it was very emotional and unexpected for the town. So Krista Sepp was a bright young girl who became a social worker for the Knark Child and Family Services. She was known to be very fun and caring. She even sometimes was seen on her off hours or even during the hours of her work shift with the children, playing in the snow. Sometimes they'd even go tobogganing and they'd have hot chocolate. I actually read this in one of the comments from one of the former children. I am not going to give any names or where I get comments from, because one, I don't know them. Two, I'm not going to share someone's personal experiences that I don't know who they are. So we are just going to put it as a descriptive term, I guess, of who Krista Sepp was, if that makes sense. So anyways, Krista Sepp was working in one of the residential housings for child services, and she was working her very first night shift at the home. Krista Sepp was only 21 years old at the time. So one of the residents that resided at the home was Joanne Beeson. Now, Joanne Beeson is a very critical part to the story, as she is one of the people who committed the crime. Now, Joanne Beeson, one of the critical pieces of this case was the police or Krista had no idea why Joanne Beeson was placed at this home. But in reality, the missing piece of information probably would have saved Krista Sepp's life, considering the actions Joanne took to get sent away to this home. Now, from my perspective, I don't think she should have been sent to this home for what she did. She probably should have had a little bit more security. But we'll let you be the judge on that, okay? Now, if they knew that Joanne Beeson, a troubled 16-year-old, was sent there because she attempted to stab her mother and her stepfather at her home. Now, Joanne Beeson came from a little town just north of Midland. Kind of going to explain about it. So if you live in Midland, which you're already going to know this, but if you don't, there's Midland, Ontario, and then there's Pantang Machine on the side here. And then if you go the other way, then you have Port Minicle, Victoria Harbor, Wabasheen, Orillia. It just keeps going on. Before Orillia, you'll hit Fezzerton. But anyways, I just kind of want to leave you a little layout of where our town is and, you know, kind of like where Joanne was from. So they only said somewhere up north. Again, there's not much information on this case, so I can't really explain to you where she's actually from. So anyways, if Krista Sepp knew, she probably would still be alive today because of the actions that Joanne Beeson did take before she got sent to the home after trying to stab her parents. That was probably a critical piece of this case, was the police or Krista had no idea why Joanne Beeson was placed at this home. But in reality, the missing piece of information probably would have saved Krista Sepp's life, considering the actions Joanne took to get sent away to this home. Now, from my perspective, I don't think she should have been sent to this home for what she did. She probably should have had a little bit more security. But we'll let you be the judge on that, okay? Now, if they knew that Joanne Beeson, a troubled 16-year-old, was sent there because she attempted to stab her mother and her stepfather at her home. Now, Joanne Beeson came from a little town just north of Midland. Kind of gonna explain about it. So, if you live in Midland, which you're already gonna know this, but if you don't, there's Midland, Ontario, and then there's Pantang Machine on the side here. And then if you go the other way, then you have Port Minicle, Victoria Harbor, Wabasheen, Orillia. It just keeps going on. Before Orillia, you'll hit Fredericton. But anyways, I just kind of want to leave you a little layout of where our town is, and kind of like where Joanne was from. So they only said somewhere up north. Again, there's not much information on this case, so I can't really explain to you where she's actually from. So, anyways, if Krista Sepp knew, she probably would still be alive today because of the actions that Joanne Beeson did take before she got sent to the home after trying to stab her parents. That was probably a critical piece of information Krista should have known before her first night shift in that house. So let's talk about Beeson, shall we? So she was staying in the group home before the attack, and while she was in the group home, she had developed a relationship with a young man. Now, this man's name was James Tobin. James Tobin was 18 years old, and the man was known all too well by Midland police. Now, Tobin was known as being on the prowl at night times, looking for things to steal and places to break into. So he was your very well-known criminal around Midland, and he would try to do whatever he could to make a little extra cash on the side because he was drinking, doing drugs, and just, wanted to be that bad boy. So the group home staff was actually aware of the actions of Tobin as he was, a bad boy, like I said. So they were aware of the feelings that Tobin and Beeson had for each other. They actually tried to stop the relationship between the two. But of course, you can't stop teenagers if they want to be together. They're going to find a way to be together. But there's also some evidence that they suspected that Beeson was sneaking out at various times during the day, at night, from the group home to go meet with Tobin. They can't really, say that they knew because they only had the suspicions. No one ever actually caught her in the act of leaving the group home. So again, it's just suspicion that they assumed that she was meeting up with him on various occasions. So Beeson actually had wanted to meet up with Tobin on the night of the murder. She called him up, said, "Come meet me." He showed up outside the group home the night of the murder. So we're talking February 3rd, 1989. Tobin showed up outside, they're talking, Beeson's telling him, "I want to start a new life. I want to become the modern day Bonnie and Clyde. I want to leave, I want to do drugs, I want to have sex, I want to, just live the best life I can." So, with that being said, Beeson and Tobin made up a plan to leave the group home. The only thing was, their plan involved murder. So on February 3rd, 1989, Tobin and Joanne Beeson would enter the group home of Midland, Ontario. The first thing they would do would walk in and rip the phone out of the wall. Second thing they would do was start walking up to the upstairs where all the bedrooms were of the children and the social worker that was staying that night. That social worker's name was Krista Sepp, 21 years old. She woke up from the disturbance and walked to the top of the stairs. As she approached the top of the stairs, James Tobin produced a knife, proceeded up the stairs, and stabbed her 19 times. Didn't just stab her once, stabbed her 19 times. The pure anger this boy had to do that. And while she was getting stabbed, Joanne Beeson just sat there and watched. And at the end, Krista Sepp succumbed to her injuries and she died instantly. Unfortunately, there was no help to be taken. After doing so, the unhinged pair then proceeded to the upstairs, from the upstairs hallway to the front door, where they stole one of the facility cars that they had at the gateway. And the couple then started heading north. Shortly after they headed north, the two were apprehended by police. Now, these two decided that they just want to get up, commit a crime, and they thought they were going to get away. But number one, they're young. Number two, they did this in a group home, so there's other children there. So of course the police are going to be contacted, and the screams that were probably being heard from the neighbors, of course the police were going to find them. So let's talk about what happened next. In this photo, Joanne Beeson, was 18 at the time when she was convicted, and they convicted her of manslaughter in the Krista Sepp slaying. In this photo, she is led by Barrie Police from the Barrie Courts. In this next photo, we have James Tobin, led and sentenced from, or James Tobin, led by Barrie Police into court, where he was sentenced to 14 years in prison. He had surrendered himself to a lifestyle of sex, drugs, drinking, and that's what the judge actually stated during his court case. Now, unfortunately, the tragedy did not end there for the Sepp family. A few years prior to Krista Sepp's death, there was another tragedy in the family. Now, Krista Sepp was stabbed, and so was her brother. In 1983, the family suffered a death of Krista Sepp's brother, who was a recovering drug addict. He was living in Sault Ste. Marie at the time, and two former drug addict associates that he knew attempted to stab him and unfortunately took his life. Now, these two were convicted, same as Krista Sepp's killers. But I don't know the names of them. I don't know how long they were sentenced for because, again, there's such minimal information on Krista and her brother and her mom because this is 1989. So it's not like TikTok, Facebook, let's tell everybody what happened. Nobody really knows a lot about it. And if you were there, comment, let me know, shed some light because I know it wasn't that long ago. And who knows, maybe some of the people are still here today. But that isn't all that we have for the story. Sadly, her mother, Joanne Sepp, lost two children. And after doing so, she actually did an interview where she talks about different Bible verses and God and how she refuses to be identified by the loss of her two children. I mean, this woman refuses. Like, if you have a moment, go on Google, read what she says, because she does not want to be known as the mother who lost two children. And it's kind of a little bit of a different take, I guess, a parent would have when they lose that many children. But at the same time, there's no way to grieve. There's no way to know how you're going to feel, what you're going to do, what you need to do to get through. So you can't really say anything, but I hope that she found something to help her get by in that tough and horrible situation that she had to go through. Now, Krista Sepp's name does not end there. I don't know if you have ever heard of the Krista Sepp Award, but that is an award that is given in Toronto or Barrie or Midland, depending on where they hold the events. But they give this to a special social worker or group home worker that has outstanding achievements, and I thought that was really amazing that they named the award after Krista Sepp because she was an amazing worker too. So it's good that her legacy is still living on. But there's also another thing too. If you look up Krista's Law, or even in the violence and sexual harassment suits, go down to where the examples are. You will see Krista Sepp as an example. And it says Krista Sepp, worker of Kennard Group Home, was fatally stabbed. And then it says like a few other things. I don't really know the whole details, but that was actually one of the preliminary cases that helped pass most of the rights to workplace harassment and violence in the workplace and a lot of other things. So I kind of just wanted to, like put that out there to let you know. So yeah, that's really all I have for you today. But I kind of just want to address the fact that one, I'm nervous. Two, I may have slurred a few words for the fact that I've never done an online video before. So I really hope you guys enjoyed it. I will have some more for you because tune in. I have a new episode for you, and I'm telling you, this one has some twists and some turns and some unexpected endings. So I really hope you enjoy it. I am your host, Shanice. You can find my Patreon page under Creepaholics. You can find me on my YouTube channel, Creepaholics. You can find me on my Facebook page at Creepaholics. Or if you just want to message me, you can message me at Creepaholics versus Shanice at gmail.com. I'm looking forward to hearing from you guys. Thank you so much. If you have any feedback or want anything that I need to fix in my videos, please let me know. As again, I am trying. This is my very first video being put out, so I promise the next one will be great. And don't forget to click, follow, like, or subscribe my channel. I am your host, Shanice, and I hope you have a good day. Keep creeping it real, y'all. Bye. You were the shadow to my life. Did you feel us? Another star, you fade away. Afraid our aim is out of sight. Wanna see us alive.
Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.